This is Game On. With your host, Seat Williams.
Game On!
Back on the streets of Vegas, feeling good as we rock here on a Wednesday. Seat Williams getting busy with Ari. Back in the wheels of steels, the ones and twos. Plenty to get to today. Nick Hamilton, NBC Sports LA. He's going to join us morning after Saturday's 8 to 10. Dash Radio, he is our man out in L.A. Got two potential playoff teams in the NFL. One's in for sure. The other needs some help, and they got to get it on. Final go-round, we'll talk about the Vegas Golden Knights. Hottest team in the NHL on ice. They're cooling down the ice. 23-9-2. They're in Anaheim taking on the 16-13-8 Ducks tonight. Then they get the Kings tomorrow night. Running Rebs, they get busy on Saturday, conference play. What a turnaround. You look at them, you look at Reno, Fresno, Boise State. In fact, if you look at the Mountain West, 11 teams, only two teams, that being New Mexico and San Jose State, under 500. Bottom of the hour, lighters up, dope. We'll light it up and fire and pass it around the room and a lot of other good stuff. Good to be back with you. Ari, how are you, brother?
I'm great. Great to be here.
Good to be back. Things went well. Last Tuesday, Wednesday, the toy drive for the Nevada Childhood Cancer Foundation, fourth annual. And I appreciate all the folk that came out, brought plenty of stuff. Boy, it's just growing every year. And, you know, it's weird. I'll share this with you, too. Got a friend who, he's a retired pilot. He's well off. And he brings toys and other goods for the kids each and every year. Good friend of mine. And he says to me, this was actually during the toy drive. He bought some stuff, and he's sitting in there in the RV. Thanks, by the way, to Kevin Hicks, Finley Acura, Sun Impact, my friend Josh over there, RV of America, and Truly Nolan Pest Control, all getting busy with the Nevada Childhood Cancer Foundation toy drive. So my friend is sitting in the RV with me, and he says, man, he says, I got a bunch of stuff that hasn't been used, hasn't been worn, tons of garments. What should I do? I said, Salvation Army, Goodwill. He says, they'll sell them. I said, there's a ton of homeless people in this city. He's like, you know where they are? I says, yeah. He said, road trip. So I got out of the RV, got sick on Friday. And that's another story Ari and I are going to get to here in a moment. So Friday, I didn't come in because I had a really bad cold. Got through it. But Saturday, got up with the cold. And my buddy and I, we took the road trip. He loaded his truck up. And he had bags of clothes, shoes, women's stuff, cereal, other goods for people. And we rolled down to Four Master Lane. And that is a homeless community. For those of you not familiar, it's behind Cashman Field, right off Main Street. So we turn in there. And people are so laid back. It's a community. I mean, tents everywhere. Kids, single moms, dudes from ages infantry all the way up till probably their 80s, homeless. So we're handing this stuff out. We spent about 30 minutes down there talking with the people and handing them stuff out. And it was just a good feel story. Didn't do any videotaping of it. I just want to share the story. Well, this friend of mine has a really good heart, and I had a chance to cash in with him on that following the toy drive. So it was a give and give and give all last week and through the weekend for me. Now, as for being sick and coming to work, if I'm sick, I'm generally not going to come in. There are some people in the building that will and have passed it on. And some of us become victims of that, don't we, Ari?
Absolutely. It's a radio station, so all we do is press buttons on computers and stuff like that, touch the mics. Yeah. So I had a train someone last week, and he was messed up, and I could see it, and he even shared that.
Was he coughing and sneezing and snotting?
Right at this point, he's just coughing, and I said, look, you know, like, you're training. I've been here a long time. Don't you worry. If you want to go home, I got you. You know, I'll talk to our manager. It's not like that here, because it's not. You know, you're, and especially in trainee, you know, I got it. I'm taking care of it. And not to mention, I hate training people. So I really just didn't want to get sick. And he said, I'll tough it out. So he was coughing. I took pictures. We had to stop and get cough drops on the way because his 40-pack wasn't enough.
So you're sitting shotgun. He's sitting shotgun with you in the vehicle, sitting with you on the remote, and he coughed you into sickness.
Yeah, I'm willing to bet that because I woke up Christmas Eve day. The day wasn't so bad, but as the day wore on, I could feel it. And then, like, Christmas, I got my present, and that was woke up with a nice little cold. I will say this, it wasn't like one of those fevers where you're all cold sweat and vomit and stuff. So I got off fairly easy, but it just kind of put me in a mood. And then I had made plans that day. I don't celebrate Christmas, but a friend of mine, good friend, invited me over to his house. His wife is pregnant, and he has two kids. So I just didn't want to risk getting them sick or anything, you know, and just so I stayed
home. So you didn't
tough
it out?
No, I didn't tough it out purposely.
So what are you doing here today?
Now I'm good. Okay. It's all out of my system. I sweat it out.
We'll see. If I'm good tomorrow, then you're telling the truth,
folks.
It's all good. All right. Happy holidays out there to you folk. James Harrison. How about this? Now, you know the story by now. The Steelers cut him Saturday. Now, teammates are saying he was asking out. He didn't want to be a Steeler anymore after being there for 15 years. Nevertheless, they cut him. Then he signed with the Patriots, okay? So he's got a one-year deal with the Pats, and he knows everything about that defense, everything about that offense, everything about that organization. And a couple of people on his team, former team, the Steelers, are ripping him, saying, no, he didn't get cut. He wanted out, so they released him. So, I mean, either way you look at it, the fact that he signed with the evil enemy is not good news for the Steelers. James Harrison is that edge guy. He's a guy that you put on the edge, and he makes everything go back inside. And he's also a pretty good pass rusher. 80 sacks, number one in the franchise for the Steelers. 80 sacks in his career, which is pretty good. But there's things going back and forth with other teammates. Look, if you're a Patriot, you love it. You're getting the team that you need to beat to probably get to the promised land. You're getting one of their longtime endeared defensive studs. On the other hand, if you're the Steelers, I mean, you're kind of disgusted with it. But you can't say anything negative because the dude has a right as a free agent to sign with whomever he wants. And if I'm James Harrison, I'm signing with the Patriots too, like them or not. They've been in the Super Bowl and won two of the last three, and they might repeat and be one of the first time to do that, teams to do that in some time. All right, on to Seattle and Dallas. And that was a pretty good ball game. It was competitive, and I'm thinking Ezekiel Elliott in that first half doing his thing. Dez Bryant, my God. I mean, when are you ever going to grow up? I'm watching this game, and Dez Bryant is crying. I ain't getting the ball. So they throw him the ball. He catches. First, he drops one. Right to him, he drops it. Then he makes a couple of catches. Then they throw him another ball, and he fumbles it in the clutch. So now you can sit on the sideline and shut up, right, Dez? Please? All right, enough. Enough already. If you're bickering and you're crying and you're bitching about getting your reps, getting passes your way, when they come your way, you better make the completion, and you better not fumble, and you better be clutch. He ain't anymore. If you got him on your fantasy team, God bless you. He ain't getting you the trophy. You will not get the title with Dez Bryant as one of your receivers. In that ball game afterwards, Seahawks safety Earl Thomas, who's a native Texan, went to college there, grew up there, high school. He tracks down. This, the game's over. Now the Seahawks beat the Cowboys. He tracks down Cowboys head coach Jason Garrett, right? And he says to him, come get me. Come get me. In other words, come get me. When the season's over, I ain't getting the love here anymore in Seattle. The boom is done, right? Boom is done. Everybody's injured. Everybody's older now. Everybody's about to move on. And boy, did they have it down. I mean, was that the most enjoyable defense to watch? What defense was more enjoyable to watch than the Seattle Seahawks? Even if you weren't a fan of theirs, I just love Legend of Boom. These dudes just brought it. I mean, every night, every day. And, you know, and got on each other. And they respected each other to the point that if you blew a play, the dude next to you is like, hey, man, you know, you can't let that be. You gotta show me better than that. And they had this family thing, this camaraderie. I wonder what's going to happen with this team now. Because everything is tearing apart, so it appears. Come get me. Earl Thomas says to Jason Garrett after the game. He tracks him down as they're going up the tunnel, puts his arm around him. Come get me. Didn't care cameras are rolling. I don't care. I'm a Texan. And I want to go back to my state, and I want to play for the Cowboys. Imagine him and that star on the helmet in that uniform. Wow. We'll see what happens with that particular situation. So you've got a lot of things trending right now. Also, Alex Garak, I think it's Guerrero. He's a personal trainer for Tom Brady, right? He also worked with some of the other players on the team. Well, because he's not a certified trainer and some of his style, some of his ways of helping you to get ready, things of that nature, he's, what am I going to say? He's barred to work with any other players other than Tom Brady. That's it. Bottom line, Tom Brady's the only guy he can work with now. And that kind of makes you wonder, you know? It just makes you wonder what the heck is going on there. Tom Brady doing his thing. You've got Gronk. This guy, Alex, I guess he does a lot of acupuncture, things of that nature. And in the end, he's not going to be working with anybody but Tom Brady from this point on. And then we've got two winners in town, folk. The Vegas Golden Knights, I mentioned them, 23-9-2, four games in a row. The nicest new package in the business, okay, in any sports. And you got the Rebels, the running Rebels. How about that? 18-15 last year. Remember when we were doing the Seat Net show over on Fox Sports Radio 1340 with Ed Graney? Eddie's thing was, if they win 30 games combined the next 2 years, we're all good with it. Well, the Rebels are going into conference play where they get Boise, a team that's 10-2. Also, Fresno, by the way, is 10-3. Reno's 11-3. And as I mentioned, of the 11 teams in the conference, only New Mexico and San Jose State are under 500. Every other team is at 500 or better in non-conference play. So come Saturday night, the Rebels get Boise. They are 11-2. So you put it together, 11-2, at 17 losses, it looks like 29 wins. Gee, if they win one more game, then they've accomplished what Ed Graney said they have would be reasonable at that point. So we'll see what happens on that. All right, we're going to step on when we get back. Lighters up, dope is next.
Now back to Game On, Seat Williams.
316 in the Valley, rolling along here midday. It's hump day on a Wednesday. Seat Williams, Ari, he's got the ones and twos. We'll get you to dope in that next segment. Going out now to NBC Sports LA. Morning after Saturdays, you can hear him from 8 to 10. Dash Radio, Nick Hamilton. Nick, happy holidays, bro.
Hey, happy holidays. Merry Christmas, man. How you doing?
Everything's good here. How about you and the fam?
Oh, man, everything is everything, man. Keep on moving on, man.
Boy, this is fun. You know, it's weird. You know, and you look back at the NFL season,
yeah,
and it's been good to me. Now, you'll hear people say, oh, man, the players ruined the season with the protest. No, you allowed it to ruin your season. The players didn't ruin the season. It's been a great season. And like I said before, if I were a player, I would have kneeled with them because the cause, I understand it. Nevertheless, the setup right now for the playoffs is kind of juicy, isn't it? Let's start with the NFC. And we understand the Eagles got home field advantage throughout. Then you have other teams like the Vikings, Panthers, Saints, Rams, Seahawks, Falcons, all in the mix. The Rams, are they locked in? Give me the scenario of the Rams. Are they locked in at 3 or 4? What's going on there?
Well, they're locked in either 3 or 4 seed. I mean, when you look at what the Rams, if they decide to rest their starters, which Sean McVay is heavily leaning towards, then they're probably going to end up, if they do lose the game against the 49ers, they'll probably fall into that 4th seed, which can be very dangerous because they could be playing a very scary Carolina team that's really been on the rise as of late. And they've really been clicking on all cylinders. So even though I know and I understand the Rams are at home at the LA Coliseum, that's not a game you really, really want to deal with. I think if you really want to get that 3 seed where you can deal with either the Falcons or the Seahawks, I think that's a much better game for you. I mean, at least a much easier game. You know, work smarter, not harder. But, you know, we'll see what happens on Sunday. But as of right now, Sean McVay is leaning towards resting all of his starters. That includes Jared Goff, Todd Gurley, Tavon Austin and company, Sammy Watkins, Robert Woods. So, you know, we'll see what happens when it comes to Sunday at the LA Coliseum against the 49ers and Jimmy G.
Yeah, you know, you're right. You think about it, the Falcons or the Seahawks, yeah, I'd rather have them than the Panthers with that defense right now. And Cam Newton is starting to play better. But the defense of the Panthers is something to be considered. You mentioned earlier Gurley as MVP. You said this about 2 to 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, and I kind of scratched my head when you said that at first. And then I kept watching. I'm like, you know what? My dog knew what he was on to. This dude is MVP.
Right. I mean, I look at Gurley has really been on fire. I mean, he's absolutely that offensive line has improved dramatically, and you have to thank Andrew Whitworth and company because of that, because the blocking has been phenomenal. But also, again, I hate to sound like a broken record, but it goes back to the theory of Sean McVay says everybody must block. If you don't have the ball, you better be out there helping on the block, and that's exactly what they've done, which has enabled Todd Gurley to make the significant strides and runs that he's had. So it just depends on, you know, what he's seeing. I think he's a lot more patient coming into this season when it comes to his runs. He knows to find the spots. He knows where the holes are. And so you have to really, really take into account of what he's accomplished. And I'm telling you, this kid, he's looking better than he did his rookie year.
How much has Watkins being healthy helped in the receiver core?
Oh, it's helped tremendously, but it's not just his health. It's been his attitude. He's had a definite change of attitude. He's been a lot less selfish than in years prior, as we all know. Not so much a diva, but more of a team player. You know, it took him time to get used to understanding protocol as Sean McVay wanted to put in place. And so you really had to make sure that he was locked in. And once you realize he was locked in, that's when it all started.
Nick Hamilton, NBC Sports LA, on the show here, Game On. Let's talk about the defense here of the Rams. And unlike the San Diego Chargers, the LA Chargers now run a 4-3. The San Diego Chargers run a 3-4. Like the LA Rams, they run a 3-4. They got Donald up front with Westbrook's and also Brockerts. Then they got the Johnson boys back in their secondary. The defense has been stellar, but you have to have these athletic linebackers to run a 3-4 and be successful. They have to be able, when you red dog, to bring it, but they have to also be able to cover some of the receivers and backs out of the backfield.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I think the learning curve for that new 4-3 defense has been amazing. I mean, Gus Bradley has done an absolutely fantastic job, even when I spoke with Melvin Ingram earlier in the season, I said, you know, how difficult is the learning curve for you? He said, man, that's the same defense I ran in South Carolina. So it wasn't a huge transition. A lot of guys echoed those same sentiments. Like, hey, man, you know, Gus is a guy whom we listen to. He's almost like Obi-Wan Kenobi when it comes to defense. I mean, guys are listening. They're preparing. They're doing exactly what he asked them to do. And it's been working for them thus far. I mean, barring, you know, injuries, obviously, but that defense has been absolutely astonishing. As of late, they've given up over 100 plus yards, which has not looked good. But they struggled on the run run defense, and part of that is due to not having Denzel Perryman in the middle for the first 8 games, and then last week's game against the Jets. And so I think if Denzel Perryman is healthy and he comes back against the Oakland Raiders on Sunday, you're going to see a slightly different type of style of defense, which opens up opportunities for guys like Melvin Ingram, Joey Bosa, those two bookends. And then you have to look at Desmond King, the rookie. You have to look at Trey Boston, Casey Hayward, two-time Pro Bowler, and then those guys. And so they'll fall in line. I think, and I've said this numerous times, even on your show, see, that Denzel Perryman is the glue to this defense. I mean, Gus Bradley is the architect, but Denzel Perryman is the glue that keeps this defense together.
One thing about the Chargers, we know for certain they're not going to have a losing season for the first time in several years. And it's nice to see. I mean, 9-7 will be great. Playoffs or no playoffs, to have a winning record under your first year head coach and Anthony Quinn, I mean, to me, this right here is a great improvement with a new regime.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that it took them a while, but I think they eventually bought into Anthony Lynn's philosophy. But anytime there's a new coach and you have a mixture of young guys and veterans, it's going to take some time. It is an adjustment period. Call it what you want, but these are still human beings that have enormous amounts of talent that we enjoy every week in and week out. And so I think it took time. I think what Anthony Lynn's attitude, even when they were 0-4, was like they played like they were 4-0. And it's absolutely correct that the fact that they only lost games by a slim margin. It wasn't like they were getting completely blown out of those first 4 games. But they had the talent, they had the attitude, and they made sure that they stayed on point like a decimal and executed the way they needed to. And here we are, potential playoff opportunity if they can win on Sunday and if Tennessee loses to Jacksonville also on Sunday. So they still have to control their destiny in their own hands, but they do need a little bit of help.
We saw the growth of Williams at receiver last year. I mean, a kid just he puts fear in you if you're a safety or a corner, because he could blow by you a couple of strides and he's behind you. Now you need some help over the top. And then, of course, Keenan Allen being healthy. Look, Phillip Rivers is the only guy in football that throws a three-quarter spiral for a strike, right? I mean, he doesn't throw exactly over the top. It's awesome when you watch it. Him along with Aaron Rodgers are my two favorite quarterbacks to watch. Aaron Rodgers, because to me he's the best. Phillip Rivers, because he throws the most catchable touch pass in all of football. You agree?
No, he does. I just wish Phillip Rivers would be more consistent. I guarantee you, if he played against Kansas City the way he played in the previous 4 games, they would have won that game. I guarantee you. And that's the thing that scares me in the playoffs, because we don't know which Phillip Rivers we're going to get. Yeah. He's immensely talented, but the turnovers have cost him. You and I watched it last year, so near the end of the season. He was turnover city. Played good, but he was turnover city when it counted.
I can't fight you on that one. I tell you, I'm not going to say bust, because he dealt with injuries coming into camp. They had a chance to get Watson. The Chargers bought Watson and receiver Mike Williams, former teammates at Clemson, into camp at the same time, right? And so they had a chance at that pick to pick either Mike Williams, the receiver, or Watson, the quarterback from Clemson, who won the championship last year. Looking at the future, they could have got Watson, but they went with the receiver Mike Williams. I'm not going to say bust, but a disappointment.
Yeah, I'm hesitant to throw the bus word around, but yeah, extremely disappointed. I think Mike Williams is disappointed as well. I don't think he's sitting around, you know, with his feet up and saying, "Hey, I made it. I got my NFL contract." I mean, he wants to work. He goes out and practice when he can and works extremely hard. That's one thing Anthony Lynn did say, that he does have his work ethic together. But I question, and you and I talked about this even off air. I question, if you got a 7th pick, you could have had 2 quarterbacks you could have picked from. You mentioned Deshaun Watson. The other one was Pat Mahomes.
Yep.
And if you want to do a year development project behind Phillip Rivers, either one of those quarterbacks could have serviced your needs for next season. However, you decided to take a wide receiver who already had chronic back issues, who isn't the greatest route runner, I might add. And this is the same guy They turned down the invitation to work out with Randy Moss.
And he drops just football passes.
Just saying. I mean, maybe need that stick him. I don't know. But I'm not going to call Mike Williams a bust. I like Mike Williams. Like I said, I think he works extremely hard. I think what he does in this offseason is going to tell the tale. Now, if he continues to struggle in year two, I'm going to be the first one before you see Williams in Las Vegas. I'm going to be the first one to call him a bust. And once again, Tom Telesco wasted another first-round draft pick.
Yeah, you know, you think about it, and listen, you don't get that many opportunities. Like this coming draft, there's what, 4 to 5 solid, maybe 4 solid quarterbacks coming out in the draft, right?
Yes.
But last year there were 3. You could have had one of them. You were at number 7. You're not going to be at number 7 this coming year. And if you're looking at a quarterback now, you might have to deal something to get up there. How much longer is a guy like Phillip Rivers going to stay healthy, man? This dude is the Iron Man plus.
Listen, you remember I told you about the epitome of hustling backwards? This is the epitome of hustling backwards. Because now, like you said, you find yourself behind the 8-ball, corner pocket, and somebody's about to knock it in. Because now you could have had all your quarterback needs taken care of, so whatever needs you need to service, whether it be at running back, whether it be on the defensive end of the ball, interior defense, or what have you, or even a kicker, you could have had that sewn up. But now you have, like you said, you have 5 other quarterbacks coming out, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, several others, the kid out of Wyoming, Josh Rosen. You have several other quarterbacks that can actually make it after a year of tutelage, or maybe less than, and actually can make it in the NFL. And to me, I think the steal of the draft is going to be Lamar Jackson, because Lamar Jackson has the strongest arm than Baker Mayfield, and he had to learn a much more complicated offense under Bobby Petrino.
I think the kid Allen from Wyoming may be available. Chargers will probably be somewhere around between 15 and 20, I'm guessing, in the draft.
Yeah, but don't be surprised if they trade up. Me to you.
So
don't be surprised.
Yeah, Jackson is one, as we know, Rosen, Donald, but then Allen, the kid from Wyoming. We saw him this past week in a bowl game.
I like him.
This kid is good. He's a leader, and he gets it done. And he would probably be available, I'm saying, if they don't move up around that 15 to 20 area, if they're not looking for someone else. Lamar Jackson, do you think he goes? Because I haven't heard that much talk about his draft stock. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think Lamar Jackson is being highly underestimated, and I think it was much like Pat Mahomes or even some other quarterbacks that made it. When you look at Dak Prescott, when you look at guys like Dak Prescott, who would have thought a 4th-round pick would have turned out to be who he is. Yes, he's had some struggles this year, but you got to look at the offensive line, you got to look at the lack of Ezekiel Elliott, but the guy has still been on point. The same thing can happen with Lamar Jackson. Even if Lamar Jackson falls to a 2nd round, if he does, like I said, whoever picks Lamar Jackson and he's in the right system, they're going to get a steal, because Lamar Jackson is an NFL-quality quarterback. Say what you want. They did not. I mean, they're always quick to try to turn quarterbacks of our hue into wide receivers instead of allowing them to be quarterbacks. And this is one quarterback you do not want to turn into a wide receiver. You want to keep him as a quarterback. He needs to stay focus on being a quarterback, and I think he's going to develop into a very, very good NFL quarterback, especially under the right tutelage.
He reminds me of Michael Vick, electric. So we'll see if he gets a chance to play
that
position.
Except he can throw in the pocket.
Yes. Nick Hamilton, NBC Sports LA. Hear him on Dash Radio, Saturdays 8 to 10, morning after is the show. Telesco, GM for the Chargers. What kind of grade is he getting there with the media and the fan base?
I would say between maybe a good C+, B-, maybe. I mean, here's the thing about Tom Telesco. A lot of people don't know too much about Tom Telesco because he's not out there. And when you have a general manager like the Rams having Les Snead is out there. Les Snead will sit there and talk. He'll be at the games. He'll be at practices. You'll see him out and about. Tom Telesco is kind of behind the scenes, doing the job he's supposed to do. So I think it's just going to take some time for people to really get to know and understand who Tom Telesco is. I mean, like I tweeted out a while ago, I saw Tom Telesco at the USC-UCLA game, and I'm like, who are you? Why are you here? Oh, because there's 2 quarterbacks that you could potentially scout, just like he was there for the USC-Texas game, I might add.
Hey, what are your thoughts about a quarterback? Okay, I'm still in concussion protocol. I can't play. I mean, was that clever, or what are your thoughts here, USC?
I'm sorry.
Denard. A plane. What are your thoughts?
You know what? I think it's a smart move. I mean, you have to be wise with your head. I mean, the NFL always talks about how concerned they are with concussion protocol and the safety of their players. So I think he's playing it the right way. If he feels like he has a concussion and he feels like he can't go, I'm all for it. I'm never against a player that said they can't go, you know, especially when it comes to your brain. When it comes to your head, your brain, anything of that nature, you got to protect that, because what are you going to have when you leave football?
All right, let me ask you this then. Let's turn the page. Star players, we saw last year Leonard Fournette, and also up in Stanford, a couple of star players, right? All-American players. I'm not going to play in the bowl game. We're heading in that direction, and I can see more of this coming forth. We didn't see that much of it this year, but if you're not playing in one of the final four games, final four, then, hey, I mean, your stock ain't going to change if you don't play in a bowl game. You could get hurt. What are your thoughts about a player that's a star saying, I'm going to sit this one out?
I don't blame him whatsoever. I think Josh Rosen had an excellent point. Listen, they got all the free labor they can get for those first 3 years or 4 years, however long they stayed in college. They got that university and those conferences and those bowl committees got free labor for the last 3 to 4 years. So if I sit out one game to protect my vested interest, then why all of a sudden is it a problem? It should not be. It's never a problem when you play for free and everybody around you is making money but you, which is vocally known as the pimp game. Yeah, everybody's making money off you but you. When the moment you start to wise up and say, you know what, I'm going to treat myself like an entity, like an investment. I'm going to protect my vested interest, which is my body, my mind, my arm or legs or whatever position that you play. Now it's all of a sudden it's a problem. That I find that rather odd, but hilariously ridiculous at the same time.
Couple of things we want to touch on. Your thoughts about two things left in the NFL. Seahawks safety Earl Thomas, native Texan, went to college there, high school. After they beat the Cowboys, he rolls up on Jason Garrett, coach of the Cowboys, rolling into the tunnel, puts his arm around his shoulder, come get me. Are you good with that?
I thought I was watching Young and the Restless. What is it, a long-lost love reunion after 29 years? I mean, really?
Come get me.
I mean, here's the thing. I think it's just mostly frustration. I think he's tired. I think Earl Thomas wants to be out. He's a man on the island. The Legion of Boom is done. I think we've seen the last of the so-called Legion of Boom.
Yep.
Together, whether Earl Thomas retires or whatever he decides to do. Same thing with Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor. And one other thing I would say, even Bobby Wagner, and if I'm the Los Angeles Chargers, by the way, and Bobby Wagner is available, I snatch him up immediately.
He loves
not
to hit.
Immediately, but immediately.
Him and Thomas like to stick, don't they? I mean, that's you think about it. These dudes, 6'1 to 6'4 to 6'5, a new era of safeties and corners, and they were mean. They had speed. They knew design. They knew all the packages they covered. And Thomas and Wagner, these boys love to stick. When you find safeties that like to drill you and you got corners that can be responsible, I said it along. That was my most enjoyable defense to watch, and I think we're seeing the last of it right now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that the golden years of the Legion of Boom in Seattle are gone. It's like the golden age of hip-hop. Like, once the 90s passed, that was it. There'll never be another golden age, and there'll never be another Legion of Boom.
Yep. One more thing, James Harrison, okay? Now, I don't know the whole story. I'm still piecing it together. But he was released by the Steelers on Saturday. They activated Marcus Gilbert in his place. Then he signs a one-year pact with the Patriots. So teammates are coming after him saying, no, you didn't get cut. You asked to be released. Your thoughts?
Well, whether he has to be released, he got cut. He really wasn't doing nothing. I mean, he wasn't really effective. He was a great coach, a great motivator on the sideline. I mean, if we were doing Mr. Olympia, he'd probably be in first or second place. I mean, the way he works out religiously and posting his workouts all over the gram. But at the end of the day, I think it made a better fit for him to go to New England, because they did need a pass rusher. They need somebody that can know how to understand and stop the run, a veteran presence, veteran leadership. And I think it definitely benefits the New England Patriots. Tom Brady is definitely going to enjoy that little after Christmas toy that he received with James Harrison. And, you know, however far they go, whether it's to the Super Bowl or AFC Championship or what have you, I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New England Patriots are on a collision course to see each other in the AFC Championship. So it's going to be very interesting how the reaction is going to be before and after the game when these players see James Harrison.
If you see James Harrison, tell him I could take him.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Hey, let's go to the final game on New Year's Day. You'll be at StubHub, Chargers, Raiders. You'll be stuck in there to celebrate your New Year's celebration. Tell us about the matchup.
Well, it's going to be an interesting matchup. It's probably going to be 85% Raider fans. I'm sure this is, I mean, LA is the biggest Raider hub.
90.
LA is the biggest Raider hub that they have. They're bigger than the Rams here. So, I mean, they've always, Raider Nation has always been solid in Los Angeles. So it would not surprise me if this becomes a Raider home game. But it's definitely a game that the Chargers are going to have to win. They're going to have to use Melvin Gordon, which we found out today. Melvin Gordon is looking forward to playing on Sunday despite that injury he suffered against the Jets and late in the fourth quarter with that ankle, which he's been kind of dealing with in the last week and a week and a half. So if he feels like he can give it a go, you know, they're going to have to find an interesting formula to get him the ball. And they're going to have to run the ball effectively the same way they did against the New York Jets. But they're going to have to definitely spread the offense. Phillip Rivers is going to have to be on his A game, and it looked like those first four games, I mean, excuse me, those four-game stretch where he had zero interceptions before the Kansas City game.
And finally, what's the scenario for the Chargers to make the playoffs? They have to win and?
They have to win and Tennessee has to lose to Jacksonville. And from what I've been told, Jacksonville is playing all of their starters on offense and defense. They're coming at Tennessee hard and fast. And so Charger fans better become Jaguar fans only for a week, because if they do beat the Titans and the Chargers actually win, they have to face, I believe, the Jacksonville Jaguars the following week in Jacksonville.
They could beat them. They had them last time. And like you said, they mismanaged the clock down the stretch.
And they tricked it off.
Hey, okay, what about the Ravens? What if they win?
It doesn't matter.
The Chargers have the tiebreaker?
It's all about the Titans.
That's it. So you're telling me if the Titans lose and the Chargers win, the Chargers are in the playoffs?
Pretty much.
Is that simple?
That's pretty much what it boils down to. Not the cop. I know we've seen 55 million scenarios. Will this person get 7.5 points on the spread and all it? No. Let's simplify it. Chargers win. Tennessee loses. They're in. They're the sixth seed. Chargers are the sixth seed.
Nice.
Period. Point blank.
Hey, brother. Happy holidays out there. Be safe.
Hey, happy holidays, man.
We'll catch you in 2018.
Catch y'all next year, man. Happy New Year. Don't get too live on the strip, see?
Hey, tell the folks where they can find you, bro.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Nick Hamilton LA. You can also catch my show The Morning After with Nick Hamilton at its new time, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern.
Ah, all right, brother. Be good.
All right. Thanks a lot. You too, man. Be safe.
Peace and out. Nick Hamilton, NBC Sports LA, getting it done for us out here on the West Coast. We're going to step away. Lighters up. Dope is next.
Man, I've been saving for a special occasion.
You know, like a quarter pounder, man. Led Zeppelin.
Man, be careful with that, man.
Is it heavy stuff, man? Will it blow me away?
It's time now for, man, that show is dope.
3:44 in the valley. Lighters up. Pass it. Oh, this one you'll love. Santa came early. This family on Christmas Eve, down south. The mother and the daughter are driving. They see a fire, so they respond. Meanwhile, the father on the other side of town, there's a baby that's dying. He goes into action. Give a listen.
Christmas Eve 2017, a day the Travis family will always remember.
I couldn't really tell at first, and then I realized, yeah, this house is on fire.
Crystal and her daughter were driving when they saw flames erupting through the roof of this home in Kayser. They jumped out to help the family with small children to safety.
And then all of a sudden, like, the propane tank on the porch explodes. And so, like, it shakes the ground and you can feel it, just the whoosh of it. And it's like smoke everywhere and it's hard to breathe.
We checked with the family. They tell us off camera they're okay and managed to save some of their Christmas gifts from inside.
It was just all really fast and really chaotic, and just really glad that they were able to make it out.
This stirred up memories for the Travis family. A driver plowed through their home 6 years ago.
I know how this feels.
This is the home that caught on fire. While Crystal and her daughter helped this family, she had no idea her husband was helping another family more than 20 miles away.
It looked like there was a traffic accident in front of the mall.
Roger was driving near Hickory Mall when he says he saw people trying to perform CPR on a baby. That's when he put his EMT skills to work and revived the child moments later.
We did get a pulse back from the child. The child was crying.
We were like, what are the odds? This is the craziest day ever.
Some people may call it a coincidence. These Good Samaritans say it's a Christmas miracle.
God put us at the right moment at the right time for the people that need us the most.
Welcome to our crazy life.
In Vail, Stephanie Tinoco, Channel 9 Eyewitness News.
Heroes, my friends. Heroes in the holidays. That, all I could say, dope.
Ain't that something?
How about that? Yeah. The mother and the daughter drag people out of a burning inferno. Pops on the other side of town, see other people trying to resuscitate this baby, and he goes in and saves the baby's life.
And he was an EMT, it said. Ahead.
Yeah. You talk about getting it done. These are holiday heroes. That whole family, God bless them. They're damn dope.
Kind of makes me feel like my holiday wasn't very, like any complaint I had.
Complaining about your sorry little cold.
Right? Yeah. That's nothing. Little baby couldn't even breathe. All right. Mine is a babia. It's a vegetarian crocodile in southern India. Yes. I always find these interesting stories. In a pinch, babia is, he only eats. First of all, they never designated whether it's a he or a she, but I assume it's a he just from the language, the context. He only eats temple, or what's called prasad, which is made of rice and jaggery. I love how these names, like these words I'm supposed to know, like prasad and jaggery, they just said it's made of rice and jaggery, which doesn't harm anyone, including the fish in the lake. So basically, this crocodile hangs out, lives in this, you know, little area in front of a temple. And the story is that he guards it. I don't know if that's really actual fact. It's just he's there kind of as like a mainstay. He's their pet almost, their mascot, I guess.
Yeah, right, a pet.
Right? Well, for 60 put your years, hands on though, him. He's a vegetarian. He wouldn't have okay. anything to do with me.
Have some weeds in your hands.
All he eats are these prasads, whatever that is, which is the rice stuff. Probably in really great shape, if you think about it. He probably really could tear us up because...
Yeah, he's an alligator, right?
And
he can tear you up,
water,
right?
And yeah,
make like some nice shoes out of me,
right? But he wouldn't eat us, so that's the story. He's been guarding that lake for the last 60 years, and I guess the people, he gets fed after the noon worship at this temple, and they feed him like kind of like an elephant. They place the food in his mouth, and he just grabs it.
Interesting.
Vegetarian, so
pretty dope.
Pretty dope.
Yeah, Tiger Woods. Okay, he did pretty well in that last golf tournament he was in. Well, every year, he's been playing Mac Daddy for Santa. Mac Daddy Santa, Tiger Woods. Now, he explains why. Recently, he would rather do something different. Here's what he did. He says he turned a twist and he tried to do something else. Color is facial hair blonde and his chin caught on fire. So he says, last year I burned my face off trying to dye my goatee, which is never going to happen to me again. Yeah, that's fun. It provides something our family does every year. Even as they grow older, I'm going to do it. So he's going to be Christmas Mac Daddy. Mac Daddy Santa for his kids, and they love it when he dresses up. He's got a poles here where he's got his shirt off. He's got a ball cap. Let's see what team that is.
I saw the picture.
Looks like
funny.
Nike. He's got shades on. He's got the white hair and the white beard. So
he's so awkward he's to me. I know he's a professional athlete, one of the greatest ever. I mean, you know, considering what you consider golf. He's just so awkward to me. It's funny. Like his stature and his celebrity. I mean, he's huge, but when he does stuff like this, and And even the stuff with the women, you just think, like, can you imagine that guy hitting on a girl? It just, I mean, not that I'm.
What are you saying, man?
I'm just saying he seems awkward. And so even in the Christmas with this stuff, like in the pictures, he seems awkward. He really does. The whole Mac Daddy thing.
Well, it's good that to know he has a little personality carries to his family.
Of course. I'm not knocking the guy. I love it.
I think it's pretty dope.
Sure. I'll knock this quick one out real quick. We got a few minutes left. My question is, I wonder if this story would even be a big deal if Chrissy Teigen wasn't involved. She, to let you in, because you weren't sure, she's the model. She's John Legend's wife. But she has her own career as a swimsuit model on, like, Sports Illustrated. She's been and stuff. She was on a flight from L.A. to Tokyo. And they ended up heading out. And about 4 hours into the flight, they were stopped and had to turn around due to an administrative mix-up. That sounds like, would you want to hear that? You're up in there.
You're 4 hours into a flight, and you got to turn around and go back to L.A.? No.
Yeah, because you add on. So that's 8 hours on top of, I didn't look up what Japan flight is, but I know it's got to be like at least 11 hours. That's even if you come from the West Coast. Yeah, so now
you spend 8 hours.
Now it's a 20-hour flight.
Yeah, you spend 8 hours going 4 hours over the Pacific. And they found out, the problem was in this, as you're reporting it, there was an extra passenger on that plane. And the mix-up was, it was the brother of another guy that was on that flight, and their names are similar. So if they had landed in Japan, everybody would have got either fired or reprimanded. Because you can't have an extra person. You're talking about security being breached. So they had to turn around. And the mix-up was United Airlines in the same airline. They're connected in some way. And the brother was supposed to be on a United flight instead of this one. And so the head count, when they got halfway, they wait till they get 4 hours over the Pacific. There's one too many guys. Let's go back.
That'd be so hot.
They're dopes.
I'd be so mad. And not because I don't like to fly too much, but I'm very, like, routine. And then once I get, and I know I have this amount of time, and I'll eat this. You know, I'm a fickle flyer, even my stomach. So I prepare, like, I'll eat a certain amount of time, not just right before
you drink on the flight?
No, I partake in other activities beforehand that are legal. So it helps. It really does. So, and that's another reason.
Disclaimer, that are legal.
It is. Sure. But no, I'd be mad, especially with the administrative mix-up. It sounds legit to me, but at the same time, why do I have to pay for your mistake? Well, that seems like an internal thing. That's something that, you know, you American Airlines people can deal with. I'm not. You got 226 passengers in the middle of a flight, all paid this money. Some probably, I mean, Japan is heavy in business. What if you're going to meetings and things that you can't miss, or you have family, you know?
And the thing about that flight, it comes back, and they gave them rooms. It didn't go back out that day. They stayed overnight in L.A.
See, I couldn't get that.
Come back out the next day.
Because it's so current. Yeah. See, that I could live with then.
Oh, really? Being late?
No. The part about the rooms, like, as a reset, because that's my thing, is I was thinking they had to immediately go back after 8 hours.
I want to go back.
Oh, not me. I want to get out of there. Flying and all that. I need some time for that. Yeah.
Puss. I got one more for you here.
Well.
Sly Stallone revealed he's the winner of a replica of the Rocky statue he commissioned for Rocky III. He paid $403,657 in an auction.
I want to say one thing to my wife at home. Yo, Adrian! Adrian! Yo, Adrian! I love you, Andrew.
You got the statue, baby. Rocky rocks. Wow. Rocky dope. Rocky dope.
Yeah, nice. He is. Have you seen Creed, the newer one?
No.
It's good.
You know, we'll talk about, what's the name of the new company that's getting all the movies now?
Netflix?
Netflix. Oh, we'll talk about them tomorrow, man. They're about to ruin the movie theater industry, dude.
Hey, the movie industry is about to let itself be ruined.
Oh,
I'm just saying, because that to me is an experience that you can't really duplicate. The movie theater. But
say thanks to Nick Hamilton, NBC Sports LA, also to Ari. I'm Seed Williams, folk. Tim Stuck Logarts up high. We'll see you on the radio. More of the show tomorrow. NBC Sports Radio 920. Game on. Game over.